Welcome to The Radical Word, the chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Lancaster, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, French Valley. Open your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so that the Word of God can do a radical work in you.
Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24. All right, and as we're reading along, you'll notice at the top of the slide up there, the page number that we're the text that we're looking at. So we'll try to help you out there so you find it easier. Yesterday, I was up early and headed to the office as the sun was coming up, and it just occurred to me, and I started to wonder, what was it like on the Saturday morning after Jesus died for the disciples? What was it like for the disciples on that Saturday morning? The Thursday before, they'd had this radical day with Jesus. Awesome things were going on. And they enjoyed the Passover supper with him, which was a time of celebration and joy for the Jews. And so they had this amazing time with Jesus. And then toward the end of the day on Thursday, they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, things started getting a little weird. Jesus goes away from them, a little ways away from them, and starts to pray. And to pray in a way they've never seen him pray before, with great intensity and passion. And then Judas, one of the 12 disciples that had spent all that time with him, brings a mob and does an act of great wickedness, betrays Jesus, and he's led away. He's arrested. And the religious leaders take him and they falsely accuse him. And then he is beaten. He's ultimately led to the Romans, again, falsely accused, scourged, flogged almost to death by the Romans, and then he's crucified on Friday morning. By Friday afternoon, he's dead. By Friday evening, he's in the tomb. Saturday morning, what must that Saturday morning have been like to the disciples? Some of them had spent up to three years with Jesus, watching him, seeing all the amazing things he was doing, miraculous things he was doing, healing people. He was feeding the multitudes. He was casting out demons. He was walking on the water. All these great, amazing things that he was doing. They had great, great hopes and aspirations for him. They were expecting great things out of Jesus, expecting him to do amazing things. They're expecting him to be the savior of the people of Israel. When at one point Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter replies in Matthew 16:16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the word Christ, another word for that is Messiah. You are the Messiah. You are the savior of Israel, is what they expected. They expected Jesus to set up this kingdom, and they're expecting an amazing kingdom because if you know, you watch what Jesus was doing, he was doing pretty cool things, amazing things, powerful things. So when his kingdom came, it was going to be awesome. That's what they were expecting. They weren't expecting him to be dead. That was not part of their plan. Saturday morning would have been a now what moment. You've ever had one of those, a now what moment? You know, I've had those moments. You know, I have a plan. I'm working my plan. My plan is working. And then all of a sudden, something happens out of my control. And my plan, boop, right out the window. And my world is turned upside down. And the only thing I can think of is, now what? What do I do now? I can imagine the disciples being at that very place. 3 years we've done this. 3 years we've been following. 3 years we've been with him. 3 years we've been watching and learning and all of this. And now what? Now what moments happen? Right? I'm guessing I'm not the only one that's had now what moments, right? Things have happened. And they bring waves of emotions and sometimes very odd and strange thoughts into our minds. We have, you know, fear and worries and doubt, guilt, frustration, anxiety, anger, bitterness. All of these things are part of that now what experience. A sense of pointlessness, a sense of, you know, have I just wasted this whole part of my life? And where do I go from here? You know, that sense of being, you know, without direction, without focus, without purpose even sometimes. And we can't know exactly what the disciples were thinking on Saturday. But I think we can relate, some of us at least, can relate to what it's like to have our world turned upside down. And then it was Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sunday where we're here gathered to talk about that Sunday. That Sunday when the reality that the things that you'd been talking about all along were true, that you were going to die, but that you would be raised again. And so we're here this morning to talk about that very thing, the fact that you were raised from the dead, and that it has a meaning for each and every one of us. And if we'll understand it, then it'll help us in this life. It'll help us to live a life that is good and different, one that glorifies you, blesses others, and grows our faith. And so we lift up this time to you now, in Jesus' name, amen. The title of this morning's message is Hearts Ablaze. Here in Luke chapter 24, we have the account of two men who were disciples of Jesus. They're guys that we don't know exactly how closely connected they were, but they were two of his followers. We're going to find out that one of them is named Cleopas, and the other one is unnamed, but I gave him a name just for the sake of the meeting here today. We're going to call him Boaz, a great Bible name. So, you know, just bear with me, okay? I don't know what his name was. I made it up. They're walking along, and they're talking about the things that have happened. Verses 13 and 14. Wait, I got to actually get to the page. Sorry. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. You're walking along, they're talking about, I mean, just the last few days have been wild and crazy, not what they expected, trying to understand, what does it all mean? And these things that they heard that very morning, that's Sunday morning, stuff that they heard about Sunday morning. Okay, what is that all that about? And then someone joins them, verse 15. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. Cleopas and Boaz, they know Jesus. They're his followers, and so they've been with him, they've walked with him, they've heard him teach, they've probably seen him do miracles. They know who this guy is, and yet somehow they are prevented from recognizing Jesus. The Bible doesn't tell us how that happened or why it happened, just that it was. They could not recognize him even though they were walking and talking with him. Verse 17. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and you have not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. You know, put yourself in Cleopas and Boaz's place. I'm going to do that regularly through this message. Imagine, all of this has got to be kind of overwhelming to them. They're envisioning this Jesus guy, Jesus. They believe in him. They believe he is who he says that he is, but they don't get the whole dying part of it. They didn't understand that. None of them did at this point. And they're asking themselves the question, what is going on? First he dies, now we hear he's alive. They're trying to make sense of it all, but it doesn't make sense. They had put their hope in Jesus, and then he was dead. But now he's not dead, now he's alive. What does it all mean? Well, Jesus tries to help them to understand. Verse 25, then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. These two guys couldn't see Jesus with their eyes. They couldn't see him. Even though he was standing right there with them and talking to them, they couldn't see him. And so Jesus shows himself to them through the scriptures, through the Bible, through the word. There's a powerful lesson in that for all of us. After Jesus was resurrected, he walked around the area of Jerusalem for about 40 days. At the end of 40 days, he went up to heaven. In that 40 days, he revealed himself. About 500, a little over 500 people saw Jesus. No one else has seen him since. Nor will we see him, nor will anyone see him until he comes back again to establish his kingdom. Until then, we are just like these disciples. Jesus is alive, but we can't see him. And we're not going to see him until he comes back again. Until then, where we see Jesus is in the same place Jesus was showing himself in the Word of God. You want to see Jesus today? You look in the book that tells us about him. You look at him. You see him on every single page of the Bible. You want to see Jesus today? Read your Bible. He's right there. John 5, 39 and 40, Jesus speaking to the religious leaders about himself. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it is they, the scriptures, that bear witness about me. The scriptures tell you about me. They describe me to you. They show you me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. If you want to see Jesus today, look at him on the pages of your Bible. Verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, that would be Emmaus, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Jesus is alive. Just hours before, he had been in the grave. He's alive, but he's different now. He has a body that can be handled, can be touched. He eats just like he did before, but he's different. Now he can appear out of nowhere. He passes through locked doors, and he can vanish just as quickly. Again, try to put yourself, as you're sitting around the table, you got this guy sitting there with you, and he's telling you some amazing things. He's talking to you about the Messiah. He's talking to you about Jesus and how Jesus had to go through all the things that he did. He's explaining it to them. And all of a sudden, he's Jesus. So first, he's just a strange dude that shows up on the road. The next minute, he's Jesus. And then, seemingly in the next instant, he's gone. Try to imagine. What would you be thinking at that moment? I have no idea. I'd be looking at that guy and said, what just happened? What just happened? Something starts to happen, though. The reality that Jesus is alive starts to settle in. They start to get it. And then they realize something else. Verse 32. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Did not our heart burn within us? As they listened to this strange man who later revealed himself to be Jesus, something was stirring in their hearts. What was it? What was this thing that was burning within them? What was this thing that was stirring within them? It's not passion. Passion is an emotional thing. It's bound up all in the emotions. It was far more than that. A better word to describe what was stirring within them is something we refer to as zeal. Zeal. It's more of a, it involves passion, but it's more intense than just passion. It involves the intellect. Another word for it is fervor. The risen Jesus ignited something within them. Something that before that moment had not been present within them. And their zeal caused them to do something. Verse 33. So they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Something was different now. They went from being sad and confused to being on fire. They went from being distracted and not really sure what they were doing, that, you know, what was next, to being driven and focused. What was different? Different was they had seen the risen Christ. And what was true for Cleopas and Boaz was true for the rest of the disciples. Remember, all of them had had their world turned upside down. When Jesus was arrested in the garden, they scattered. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know what was next. But on that Sunday morning, when word came that he was not in the tomb, and then they heard that he was alive, something started to change. And these guys and ladies, men and women both, that had had their world turned upside down, would later be described as people that turned the world upside down. Paul, in the book of Acts, is accused of turning the whole world upside down. As another one who had witnessed the risen Christ. So the question that we have to ask ourselves, our question for today, what is the temperature of your heart? Can you say that you are zealous for the things of God? Can you say that there is a burning inside of you for God, the Word of God, and the things of God? Does your heart burn within you? And if not, what can you do about it? What can you do about it? I'm going to take you back to school for just a minute. Is that okay? Anybody remember the fire triangle? No? Okay, it's going to be right here on the screen. There you go. There it is. There's a fire triangle. Most of us learned this in school. I got retaught it again when I went into the military. The fire triangle says that to have fire, you must have three things present. You need to have oxygen, you need to have heat, you need to have fuel. You need all three present for fire to exist. Without all three of them, you cannot have fire. Now they teach you, if you have a fire, you need to remove one of those three things to put the fire out. That's what all firefighters will tell you. Any firefighters here? What? We have no firefighters in here? Somebody needs to do some ministry out there. Oh, Elliot, we got one. That's right, Elliot. Is this true, right? Okay, good. Whew. Should have counseled with him beforehand. For fire exists, all three of those must be present. If there is not a fire burning within you, if there's not a fire burning hot within you, something is missing. Something's missing. Just like fire needs three things, zeal needs three things to exist. Must have three things present if you want to have zeal. You want to have this burning within you. And it's this burning that allows us to be the people that God has created us to be. And if any of those is missing, you will not have zeal. The very first thing you need is you need the Scriptures. You must have the Scriptures. You must have the Bible. If you want to have zeal in you, then you need the Scriptures. Just like a fire. If a fire does not have constant access to oxygen, it will go out. Without oxygen, a fire goes out. Same thing is true for us. If we don't have a regular dosing, a regular exposure to the Word of God, the passion within us, the burning within us, the fire within us, the zeal within us goes out. And the longer we go without being exposed to the Word of God, the cooler and cooler and cooler our zeal becomes. We believe that the Bible should be read daily. It should be something we just make a regular part of our lives. We regularly do it. Now, do I read the Bible every single day? No, I don't read it. I touch it every day at least. Sorry, I can't help myself. I'm always touching the Bible. But I don't do devotional reading every single day. I try to. I don't miss very often. You know, I've been a pastor now for a while. I should be okay. I should be excused, right, because of all this stuff. Every morning, very first thing I do in the morning is I read my Bible. Just read it. I've done it for 19 years now. 18, 19 years I've done read the Bible daily. And I think it's something we all need to do. But the Word of God by itself is not enough. Having just the Word of God is not going to be enough to create that burning within you. The burning that changes you. The fire that motivates you, that drives you. The fire that pushes you on to do these things that God has called us to do, which is to go out and to change this world away from the direction it's going to a direction that glorifies God, to a direction that is good. So you need second thing. The second thing you need is the Holy Spirit. Just the Word of God is not enough. You need the Holy Spirit. Just reading the Bible is not going to do that much for their people. There's lots of people that read the Bible. They may know the Bible better than I do. It's not doing anything for them because they don't have the Holy Spirit within them. The Apostle Paul tells us that without the Holy Spirit, the Bible cannot even be understood. You can't understand it without the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 14. These things we also speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You cannot understand the things of God, the things of the Spirit of God, without the Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, the Bible is just words. Most of them are black, some of them are red. And some of them may sound good. You know, that's wisdom. We should do that. They don't come alive until the Spirit of God breathes life into them. And that's why we need the Spirit of God. And as we learn to respond to the Holy Spirit, which you have to learn how to do it. It's not something that's automatic. You have to learn how to do it. You learn how to respond to the Holy Spirit. You start to combine these things together that you need to create the fire within you that all of you want. I'm telling you, if you don't know that yet, you need to know that. That's what we need. All of us need that burning within us. We desire it, and we'll often do other things to get something that resembles it so that we can feel that fervor, that passion. And just like the fire triangle, just the two of them, having those two is not enough. Two out of three will not, if you have two out of three of the elements of the fire triangle, that will not make fire. Doesn't matter which two you have, any two of those will not make fire. You need all three. And the same thing is true when it comes to this idea of having a fire in your heart. And the third thing you need is faith. You need faith. And not just any faith, because everybody has some kind of faith. Everybody. Everybody has some, even atheists and agnostics have some kind of faith. The faith you need, the faith that we're talking about here, is faith in a risen Christ. Not just in God. There are people that have faith in God, but it's not the faith that creates this fire. You need faith in a risen Christ. It's the only thing that produces what's being talked about here, because remember, all of these people that were following Jesus, they were all good Jews. They were Jews. They believed God, and they didn't have this fire. It wasn't until Jesus rose from the dead and they encountered him, did this fire get ignited within them. And the same thing is true for all of us. If you want to have that passion, that fervor, that intensity that God would have us to, and you should want it because it's an amazing experience and accomplishes great things in the world around you. You need all three. Romans 10 tells us about this faith in a risen Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How important is it that we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? Without that, you can't be saved. It's one of the biggies in the faith. If you don't believe that Jesus died for your sins and was raised again from the dead, you could be in trouble, which we're going to try to fix by the end of this message, promise. So if you put all three of these things together, you put the Scriptures, the Bible, with the Holy Spirit, and faith in a risen Christ, you put all three of these things together, and zeal is produced. It's kind of like fire. We don't actually make fire. We just put all the pieces together. If you put oxygen and heat and fuel together in the right combination, fire is produced. And the same thing is true of us. You don't have to make zeal. You don't have to fabricate it. You don't have to make it happen. You do the other things around it. You put all those pieces together. You regularly expose yourself to the Word of God. You allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. to guide you, to speak to you. And you believe in a risen Christ, and zeal is produced. These two men, Cleopas and Boaz, or whatever his name actually was, they felt that fire within them, that burning within them, and it's what drove them. The other disciples, same thing. It drove them to share with the whole world what God had done in Jerusalem, to give the whole world something to hope in. Now, I have that fire. I've had that fire in my heart. It doesn't always burn as hot as I would like. But just like a campfire, you know, when a campfire starts to burn down, what do? You add more wood. If I simply add more fuel, more faith, then my fire gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And it will start to burn. And it will start to illuminate. It will start to warm those around me. So what about you? Is there a fire burning in your heart? Do you know the presence of Christ? Have you experienced that awareness that he's not just real, but he's alive? And he's alive in you. Can you say that you are on fire for Jesus? And if you can't, why not? What's missing? What's missing? Maybe it's as simple as making a commitment or a recommitment to reading God's Word. You need the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans tells us. Pour God's Word in. You've got to keep feeding it the oxygen of your soul. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been talking to you. And I know this is true for some of you. He's been talking to you, and you're trying really hard not to listen. He's telling you to do something, and you don't want to, or you're afraid to. And others, he's telling you not to do something. If the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something, you're not doing it, you are pouring water on your fire. You are quenching your fire. If he's telling you not to do something and you're doing it, God calls that sin. It's like throwing dirt on a fire. You know, you can only throw so much dirt on a fire before it goes out. That's going to quench the fire as well. When the Holy Spirit speaks, listen, respond. Whether it is to do or not do. Maybe you're here and you used to be on fire for Jesus. I meet people like this all the time. Used to be. Used to. Something has cooled. Often, it is the issues of life. Life just happens. You ever notice that? You wait around long enough, life just happens. They can be good things. They could be bad things. And all those things are quenching the fire in your heart. And for some, maybe your fire is just embers. It's just gotten to the point where it's just maybe a little glow there. For some, it might even just be a little spark. And for some, it might be gone entirely. Commit today to pouring the Word of God into your heart, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. And when you hear Him talking, you respond. And you believe in the risen Christ. And I promise you, if you'll do that, you will sense, maybe very gradually at first, you will sense that warming in your heart. And the things of God will become more and more important to you. and your sense of his presence will become more and more real to you. And even if you are here, and I know some of you are here, and the fire is burning, we know that. We get too close to you, and you know, we gotta get a fan out around you. You're so hot. Add more of God's word. Respond more to his Holy Spirit. And grow in your faith. This world needs us to burn hot for Jesus. We're living in a world that is getting so cold, so dark. This world needs us to light a fire in our hearts. This community is desperate for the light that will come out of our fires. If we'll just burn for Jesus. And your family will burn brighter if you'll burn hotter. One of the realities of fire, if you've ever been around a campfire, if you take one of those sticks out of the campfire and set it off to the side, we all know what's going to happen to that stick, right? It's going to have a hard time burning. You take that stick and you put it back into the fire, boop. It's hard to burn one stick by itself. But to put a whole bunch of sticks together, oh, it'll burn hot. The same thing is true of the church. I love the fact that these two guys, after they have this experience with Jesus, what is the very first thing they do? They run back to Jerusalem. Why? Because that's where the rest of the disciples are. And when they did, radical things started happening. Try to imagine these guys as they're walking to Emmaus. You know, it's Sunday, sometime during the day, Sunday, probably around midday, they make the journey. It's about probably a three-hour walk at the pace they were probably going. And they're, you gotta imagine them kind of, you know, like shoulders slumped, head down, shuffling gait as they, you know, that everything is, you know, it's all messed up. Everything's all messed up. This guy shows up and talks to them, and all of a sudden, they've had this experience with Jesus. Imagine the walk back to Jerusalem. Head high, shoulders back, a bounce in their step. They're excited. That's how I want to go through this life. You know, there's going to be now what times in our lives. There's going to be things in our lives that come. There's going to be good times. There's going to be bad times. There's going to be easy times. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be, you know, just times. But God is calling us to allow his word, his spirit, and true faith in the risen Christ to do something inside of us that carries us out into this world so the whole world can see the reality of a risen Jesus. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to have scripture memorized. You know what you need to have? You need to have some fire. There needs to be something burning in you. So burning so hot that anytime somebody gets around you, they're thinking, "Woo, what is up with you?" Let me tell you. I met Jesus. That's how I want to go through this life. Burning hot.
Thank you for listening to The Radical Word. If you would like to get a copy of this message or this whole series, go to www.radicalword.com. To get more information about Calvary Chapel French Valley, go to www.calvaryfv.com. You can also reach us by phone at 951-600-3845. If you're in the Murrieta area, we would be blessed to have you join us at one of our services or Bible studies.
This is Pastor Rick. The Bible teaches that Jesus, God the Son, came and walked on this earth. He lived a perfect life and then died for the sins of the world, including mine and yours. By believing that and accepting that Christ's sacrifice was for your sins, the Bible says you will be saved. Why not do that right now, right where you are? Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Jesus, I need something radical to happen in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life. Thank you for dying for me and giving me the hope of heaven. Help me to live a radical life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com so we can pray for you by name and send you some information to help you with your walk with Jesus. God bless you.